Welcome to the weekend edition of Truth Matters with Dr. Cheryl Davis. On today's broadcast, Dr. Davis continues her teaching in the book of Revelation and the seven churches. The book is a companion to the promises and prophecies of Daniel and a love letter to the church and saints of old. It is also a warning to the wicked and God's final war against evil. Here's Dr. Davis with today's lesson from the book of Revelation.
Hello, I'm Dr. Cheryl Davis, and thank you for joining me again as we continue our study in the book of Revelation. If you listened to the last episode, I went through an overview of prophecy, just in general, over some concepts of prophecy as really prophecy is sometimes difficult to understand, but we're trying to simplify it as easily as we can. We ask a couple questions as far as how do we know that Jesus is coming back? And in Acts 1, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. How do we know that Christ is coming the second time, and why is he coming the second time? If you would like to reference those previous episodes, you may find them on www.projecttruthmatters.com. Click on podcast and you can catch up to where we are today. Today, we'll begin with an overview of the book of Revelation, and I have found 9 M words to describe the book of Revelation. First, Revelation is a misunderstood book. 6 attitudes really prevail concerning the book of Revelation. Number one, some people are just uninformed. If you look around today, if you ask 10 people walking on the street, what's the most common book that you're reading right now in the Bible? It may not necessarily be the book of Revelation, or it may not be the Bible itself. Some, you know, in general, there's not an interest in reading the Bible or particularly the book of Revelation. The second prevailing attitude is that some people are unbelieving. They struggle with unbelief. They are spiritually undiscerning. We find that in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. When the natural man tries to read and understand the Bible, really, there's no comprehension because you need the Holy Spirit in comprehension. The third attitude is that some are uninterested. Some are Christians and are in the church, but there are some people that are uninterested in the Word of God. And we find that in many churches, not just my church or your church, but many churches. Some are unfriendly. Suppose Christians who believe the book cannot be taken at face value in its literal interpretation. There are 2 people that I know that think that the Bible is a historical book that is not relevant to today. One of them being one of my professors in college who said that the Bible really is a historical book and cannot address any of the problems of today. And then there are some that think that the Bible is completely figurative and symbolic and cannot be taken literally. The next attitude is that some are untaught. A lot of churches do not have a systematic approach to the Bible anymore. I've been listening to a podcast about Sunday school, and in moving away from Sunday school, moving to praise and worship, the knowledge of the Bible in general is going down across our churches. And some are understanding. So the least prevailing attitude is that some are understanding. And I would say that that is you, because just by virtue of listening to this program, you're interested in the Word of God and are seeking more. So the first M word that describes the book of Revelation is misunderstood. The second M word to describe the book of Revelation is a messianic book. And what I mean by messianic is that Revelation is a book about the Messiah, about Jesus Christ. The 4 Gospels present Christ in his early life and ministry, death and resurrection, which is also known as the humiliation of Christ. Revelation reveals Christ in all his glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To summarize, Revelation is a misunderstood book as well as a messianic book. Next, Revelation is a mysterious book. And I think that's a very common description of the book of Revelation. It's very mysterious. It's mysterious mainly because of the use of symbolism more so than any book in the Bible. three primary reasons for the heavy use of symbolism in Revelation is that symbolism is not weakened by time. Symbols live from century to century and never lose their meaning. Symbolism is a way to carry a message through time without losing its meaning. Symbols impart value and arouse emotions and hold interest. For example, when the Antichrist is described as a dictator versus being described as a beast, it invokes very different emotions. And the third primary reason for the heavy use of symbolism in Revelation, symbols functioned as a type of spiritual code. The book of Revelation was written while in exile of those being persecuted by the Romans. Only Jewish or informed Bible readers could interpret the message. Moving on, Revelation is a meaningful book. Three reasons why it's meaningful. Number one, the Spirit of God opened the book for us to read. Jesus tells John not to seal up the words of the prophecy, for the time is at hand. Contrasting that to Daniel 12:4, when Daniel was told to shut up the book and keep it until the end times, John was told not to seal up the words of the prophecy, for the time is at hand. Number two, the Spirit of God outlined the book. If you notice in chapter one of Revelation, which we will get into in time, chapter one is a self-outline. It is outlined by the Spirit that, number one, things which you have seen, which is chapter one, God in his glory. Chapter two are things which are, 2 through 3, which is church on the earth. And in chapters 4 through 22, things which will take place after this, which is the government of the future. So the book of Revelation is self-outlined, the things which you have seen, which John was told to write in chapter one, the things which are in chapters 2 to 3, and chapters 4 through 22 are the things which will take place after this. And the last reason that this is a meaningful book is that the Spirit of God operates within the book. The Holy Spirit gives the interpretation right within the text of the book, which is very different than other books, which is really great as it helps in our understanding of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is a miraculous book. It's miraculous in the way that it tells the future. It is the only prophetic book in the New Testament, and it's a book about the future. The next M word is that Revelation is a motivational book. And if you read Revelation, verse 3 of chapter 1, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. It's the only book in the Bible that motivates its readers by promising a blessing for those who will read and obey it. There are 7 distinct blessings recorded in the book of Revelation. The first one we have just read, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Revelation 14:13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Moving on to Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. The next blessing is in Revelation 19, verse 9. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Turning to Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, and they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. I don't know about you, but I look forward to every one of those blessings and claiming them as my own, having studied the book of Revelation. And these blessings are for you as we journey through this book. Moving on, Revelation is a majestic book. Revelation is the book of the throne, the book where we see Christ in all of his majesty. In the book of Revelation, he's called king 25 times. It talks about his power and authority 33 times. John and Daniel had the same reaction to God's glory. And we see his glory manifested and their reaction in Revelation 1, verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." Daniel had the same reaction to the glory of God in chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face with my face to the ground. Separated by thousands of years, Daniel and John reacted the same to the glory of God. Revelation is the maximal book. Revelation is the terminus of everything that happens throughout the whole Bible. It is a book of completion and consummation. Oftentimes, we compare Genesis and Revelation. In Genesis, it's the commencement of heaven and earth. In Revelation, it's the consummation of heaven and earth. In Genesis, we see the entrance of sin and the curse. In Revelation, we see the end of sin and the curse. In Genesis, we see the dawn of Satan and his activities. In Revelation, we see the doom of Satan and his activities. In Genesis, we see the tree of life is relinquished. In Revelation, the tree of life is regained. In Genesis, death makes its entrance. And in Revelation, death makes its exit. And in Genesis, sorrow begins, but in Revelation, sorrow is banished. Just to take a quick break and summarize all the M words, Revelation is misunderstood. It is messianic. It is a mysterious book. It is a meaningful book. It is miraculous. It is motivational. It is majestic, and it is maximal. But lastly, Revelation is a militant book. And what do you mean? When you say militant, I'm so glad that you asked that. The major message of the book of Revelation is the glorious victory of Jesus Christ over all his enemies. Those who identify with the Lord are called overcomers. There are 8 promises in the book of Revelation that are given to overcomers. Let's review those. In chapter 2, verse 7, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Verse 11 of chapter 2, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Verse 17 of chapter 2, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it."
In the Roman world, stones were often used in court proceedings, with the white stone representing a verdict of innocence, while the black stone, one of guilt. In the impending rapture of the church, those leaving earth to meet Jesus in the air will receive the white stone with their new name and the meaning of it. The white stone will also be an invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Dr. Davis will continue her Revelation series on our next broadcast. Please join us for this compelling study of promises and prophecies. Please visit Truth Matters with Dr. Cheryl Davis online at projecttruthmatters.com and on Facebook at Truth Matters with Dr. Cheryl Davis. Or you can write to her at The Truth Project, P.O. Box 159, St. Paul's, North Carolina, 28384. Email us, Cheryl Davis at projecttruthmatters.com. Truth Matters with Dr. Cheryl Davis is a ministry of the Truth Project.